Clearly. So how's that sound? We're sounding pretty good. Good deal, good deal. Do some other little technical things here. Wonderful to see all of you here, and great to have guests from far and near. And I'm excited about sharing what God's put on my heart to share with you today. You know, life is all about decisions. Decisions that we make and decisions that others make for us sometimes. So, what makes the difference in how we handle the opportunities that we have? The decisions that we make. What makes the difference of what will be the results of those decisions? Have you ever thought about Christopher Columbus when he left port? That instead of going west, he went east? What would have happened? I think we would be all Aussies, right? But think about it. East around Africa, through the Indian Ocean. So I'm glad he made the decision to go west, all right? So, all of us have made certain decisions in our lives that have resulted in different results, different things. And the results of these events and decisions that we've made bring us to who we are today and where we are today. And I would like to share with you about two different people and their challenges in life, and what made the difference in their life and the decisions they made. The first person is myself, and the second person is the Apostle Peter, okay? So first, about me. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I lived in Hawaii. My dad was in the military service, and so we lived on the island of Oahu. And at this point, I just graduated from fifth grade, thankfully. And so we had summer school, and I went to this special school for summer school, and I was a minority there. Because most of the people there were Hawaiians. And being a Haole, a white guy, I was a minority. And so these Hawaiian guys, since I was tall and easy target, they'd pick on me. And it was kind of tough. It was difficult. And I, you know, I didn't know what to do. I was afraid to go to school. And you know, I talked to my dad, I talked to the teachers, and, you know, they said certain things and stuff, and said, it's up to you, what decisions you make is how this is going to get resolved. So I didn't know what to do, and again, I was just full of fear, and, but my dad said, you got to stand up for yourself. So the next day, when I went to school, here he comes, pushed me around. So you know what I did? I hauled off and slugged him one good. That was a good decision. Because he never bothered me anymore. But if I wouldn't have made that decision, I would have been pushed around all that summer. Later that year, we went on a vacation. Now, I think you're thinking, now that's odd, they live in Hawaii. Where do you go on vacation when you live in Hawaii? So, well, we lived on Oahu, so we went on vacation to the big island of Hawaii. Okay? So, I was 12 years old, and while we were at this camp, we were watching TV, And they had a Disneyland program, and it was about the future, how there would be cities under the ocean hundreds of years in the future. And the thought hit my heart, I would be dead then, you know, hundreds of years. And as a young person, you don't think about life and death so much, but you start getting older and older, and this thought grabbed my heart and just tore me up. I said, what about death? Is there a God? What about life and death and these matters? And it buried me. I cried all night long. And that affected me to the extent that from that time, I always searched out, was there a God? What about life, death? What is life all about? And it wasn't until 8 years later that somebody helped me out with this situation. I was at East Carolina playing basketball, and they recruited a junior college player out of Cleveland to come and play on the team down to North Carolina. And we became good friends, but he was a great guy. But one thing he did was read the Bible. And I couldn't understand that. Here's a great guy. I always thought people read the Bible and were Christians were kind of namby-pambies. And so we became very good friends, and he shared the word with me, and he encouraged me to make a decision. I want you to go to Ohio this summer, next summer, and take this class on the Bible. It'll change your life. Well, I was hungry enough to try it out. And that was a huge decision for me that summer because I had the greatest job a 20-year-old could have. I was a lifeguard at the pool. Oh, man. Great job. My parents weren't very excited when I said, hey, I'd like to go to Ohio to take a Bible class. Is that okay? They didn't like it at all. They said, well, you're 20 years old, you make that decision. So I did. I went. And it was the greatest decision of my life because I got born again of God's Spirit. I learned about the Lord Jesus Christ from an accurate knowledge of God's Word, and I knew that He was my Lord and Savior, and that God raised Him from the dead. He paid the price, and God raised Him from the dead, and I could confess Him as Lord, believe that God did raise Him from the dead, and I got born again. I got saved, and I knew it. And you know how I knew I was born again? That I had the Spirit of God in me? I spoke in tongues. I operated that Spirit that God gave me when I got born again. He gave me a Spirit. There's 9 manifestations of the Spirit. And one of them is speaking in tongues. So for me, the greatest day of my life was when I spoke in tongues for the first time. I was in a farm in Ohio, out in the cow pasture. The cows were looking at me, what's this guy up to at night? Looking up at the beautiful heavens, the stars, and I was speaking a heavenly language, a language my Father gave me. So that was a great decision. And that's a little bit about my background. Since then, I was sold out to God and His Word and helping other people have an opportunity to learn about our Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and learn about the Word of God. So that's me a little bit. And that's our subject now, is what makes the difference in our life is the decisions we make, right? So let's take a look at Peter, all right? The Apostle Peter. We are going to the Bible. So Acts, let's go to the book of Acts. chapter 1. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I've got the King James Version here, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And this is Jesus Christ. He had died. All right. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights. God raised him from the dead. He was in his resurrected, new resurrected body for 40 days. And he worked with the apostles and the different believers during those 40 days. And this is those that last day before he ascended up into heaven. So it's telling us that he showed himself alive after his death by these infallible proofs over these 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. So for them, the right decision was what? To stay, to wait. That was going to make the difference in their life if they stayed there. So for John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were a little interested in other matters. And he said unto them, verse 7, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But, verse 8, and these are the last words that Jesus Christ spoke as recorded before he ascended up into heaven. He said, but you shall receive what?
Power.
Power. Power. Power gives you, it's energy released, okay? Something that it's released, it gives you power. After that, what? The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit has come upon you. So when they received this Holy Spirit, what was going to be released?
Power.
Power. After it's come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he goes on. He goes up into heaven. So what did the apostles do, the believers do? They made the right decision. They stayed in Jerusalem. Let's pick it up in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this was a day of celebration, one of the feasts that the Israelites would celebrate, the Jews would celebrate, and it was the day of Pentecost. It fully came, and they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Now, what were the last words that Jesus Christ said? You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. Okay? So, they're being filled with what? The Holy Spirit, and began to do what? Speak in other tongues. Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was the first evidence of power released with this Holy Spirit in you. Now, I know the subject of speaking in tongues in the Christian world can be controversial. You know, number of Christian denominations don't even get into it. Some get into it and make it like it's some circus or something. It's kind of out there. But here it is in God's Word, the very first evidence of power of the Holy Spirit is a manifestation that had never been in evidence before, and now they were speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We know in other scriptures that when you speak in tongues, you either speak in tongues, the languages of men or of angels, okay? And we know, well, we see that if we read on here. We're not going to read all these scriptures, but there were different people coming to the festive time of Pentecost from different lands, different languages. And when they heard these guys speaking in tongues, they heard their language. God had so did it that these different languages that people knew, they recognized what they were saying, these guys, when they were speaking in tongues. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they heard them speaking in tongues, and what they heard was the wonderful works of God. One of the great things when you speak in tongues is you speak the wonderful works of God. Pretty fantastic. Now, up to this time, what kind of man was Peter? He was quite a character, wasn't he? He was always, you know, if Jesus Christ said something, who was first in line to do it? Peter. He just jumped in there onto him. You know, who was the guy that jumped out of the boat when it was storming and Jesus walking across during the storm, things calmed down and said, hey, you guys want to come and walk on the water with me? Peter did. But in those last days, when Jesus Christ was giving himself over to be crucified, Peter said, I'll die with you, Lord. I'll do anything with you. Well, when Jesus was taken, what did Peter do? He ran away. And of course, Jesus Christ, he said, you know, Peter, thanks. I know you've got good intentions here, but you're going to deny me a bunch of times. If the cock crows, you're going to be denying me a few times. And he, no, not me, Lord. I'm with you. I'm with you through this. Well, Peter is a man like any other man. He's not perfect. But he denied him. It's recorded in there in the Word, isn't it? A number of times. Somebody said, hey, aren't you with that man that's being condemned to be crucified? Aren't you one of them? Oh, no, not me. And he would cuss. Say, not me, blankety blank. The rest of the followers, where were they during all this? They were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. They thought they would be next. So, and I understand that. I would have been right there with them. I would have been under the bed. I would have been right there. I mean, getting crucified, wow. So, Peter, bless his heart. You know, he was behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. He denied his Lord several times. Well, now, here it is. He is raised up. 10 days go by. The day of Pentecost comes. Peter, along with the others, get filled with Holy Spirit. They speak in tongues. So what kind of guy do you think Peter is now? Well, let's read this and see. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another. And this is the crowd of people that are witnessing this great day of Pentecost and hearing these different languages. And they said, what's going on here? What meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, here's Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Boy, Peter's getting bold here. He says, these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. It's 9 a.m. You don't drink that early. No way. And he goes on and shares. He preaches, sharing from the book of Joel. Now, Peter didn't have time to do, figure out his notes and to get his yellow pad out like I did to plan for the teaching, did he? No. He was inspired. That spirit in him just got him going. And he goes on, he says in verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. He's telling you, Jews are the one who killed him. Would he have done that 40, 50 days earlier? Probably not. He wasn't doing it then. So what made the difference in Peter's life? Where he could be from a man of fear to a man of great boldness and conviction. Holy Spirit. Born again of Holy Spirit. And knowing he had that Spirit, he spoke in tongues. And he was a bold man of God, wasn't he? What a great decision he made. Holy Spirit. Wow. Well, let's take a look at chapter 10. Go to chapter 10 in the book of Acts. Peter gets involved in another situation later on. And it starts with a situation where a man, a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Here was a Roman army officer in Caesarea. In verse 2, a devout man and one that feared God. He reverenced God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. So he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So here's a Gentile. Now you got to understand this. You know, we talk about prejudice situations. I shared my story where I was a minority in Hawaii. Well, in those days, in the Jewish culture, if you weren't in the fold, you were a dog. You were a Gentile. The Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles. No, nothing. And yet here we're seeing something happen where this Roman soldier loved God. He prayed to God. God miraculously sent an angel and said, hey, go send for this guy Peter. So I don't know if you're familiar with the story. I'm not going to read this whole account. But God works with Peter to prepare him. And he puts down a sheet with all these different animals, unclean animals. And he says, Peter, take and eat. And Peter, oh, no, no, I don't eat those unclean animals. I'm a good Jew. So God, what did he do? Another time. Shows him, lays his thing down, all these animals. No, Lord, not me. God's telling him, take and eat. And he's saying no to God. Three times. And I think he finally gets, God's trying to communicate something to him. At that third time, there's a knock on the door, in a sense. And these guys that Cornelius had sent, as God directed, were there. And they talked to Peter, and Peter was going to go with them. Verse 23, then called he them in. You know, Peter said, come on in, guys. And he lodged them, and on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren, Peter took some brethren, some other folks, from Joppa to accompany him. So they went to Cornelius in Caesarea. They traveled there. And let's pick it up in verse 37. Let's see. He sent him there. He's talking to Cornelius. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's telling Cornelius and those that were with him the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. With Holy Spirit and what?
Power.
Boy, that power and Holy Spirit kind of go hand in hand, don't they? Pretty interesting. You know, a lot of times I just see in the Christian circles that we talk about getting people saved and born again, which is so great, but then that's it. What about the power part of the deal? Where people can walk with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where people can really get things done. That's where they can see the deliverance, operating the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus Christ had. He had the Holy Spirit with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You remember Jesus Christ talked to his disciples and said, the works that I do, ye shall do, and greater works, because I go to my Father. And he talked to them about a comforter. And that comforter would be what? The Spirit of truth. And that comforter was the Holy Spirit, he taught. He prepared them that they would receive Holy Spirit. And with this Holy Spirit, they would have great power. They would be able to do great and wondrous things. The work that Jesus did and greater works. That's why we believe in healing. And if any of you have any needs at all today, where you need ministering to, talk to me and some of these others. Because we believe that the power of God is there to take care of God's people's needs, be they physical, mental, whatever. Okay, so, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Peter's teaching Cornelius about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to teach him, obviously, about the resurrection as well. Not to all the people, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. That Holy Spirit came upon all of them. Now, Holy Spirit, you can't see, hear, smell, taste, or touch. Right? Spirit. So how does he know that they got filled with the Holy Spirit? Let's read on. Verse 46, for they heard them what? Speak with tongues and do what? Magnify God. When you speak in tongues, who are you magnifying? God. You know, we sang these beautiful songs here that Bonnie picked out, perfect songs. And we want to praise our Heavenly Father. We want to magnify Him. The best way I know how to magnify Him is to use what He's given me, Holy Spirit, than to speak in tongues, you magnify him, don't you? Wow, what a great way to magnify God, to praise him by speaking in tongues, operating the Spirit of God. So they heard him speak with tongues. Here the Gentiles get in. First time ever. And this was a whole new revelation for the church that even Gentiles should get in on the new birth realities. So what is it to speak in tongues? What is it, this great power that we have resident within us with this Holy Spirit? And this is just one manifestation of it. But it's a great one. It's a great one. We've seen you speak the wonderful works of God. You magnify God when you speak in tongues. Let's go to Corinthians. We'll go to Corinthians a few verses, and then we'll close in Ephesians. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14. I'm so thankful that we have a source of truth, of the truth, with the Word of God. God didn't leave his communication to mankind to be some haphazard guess and speculation. He gave us the Word of God so that we could really know the truth. So I'm glad we can look here and see what God says. 14:2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaketh in a tongue, unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. When you speak in tongues, you speak to God. And he gives you the words as the Spirit gives utterance. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries unto God. When you speak in tongues, you speak to God. You want to talk to God? Here you go. And you know what? God's pretty neat. Because when you talk to him, guess what? He can talk back. Because there's other manifestations, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, these kind of things. So expect to hear from God. That's when we talk, we say walk by the Spirit. Listen for God. He talks to you all the time. I know he talks to his children. I talk to my children. Yeah, I talk to them. God loves us. We're his children. He talks to us. Listen. And for us to talk to him in a beautiful way here, wow, is a great truth. So here we speak to God. Verse 4, he that speaketh in a tongue, unknown tongue, edifies himself. He builds himself up spiritually. He builds himself up. You want to be built up, edified? Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Wow. What a great, great truth. Verse 13. Wherefore let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that, well, 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So we pray in the Spirit when we speak in tongues. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, and I will pray with the understanding also. Pretty neat, huh? Two ways to pray. Pray in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Pray with our understanding. I've gotten to the point that I just speak in tongues more than I pray with my understanding. I mean, there's no formula for what's best, but I know that if I'm going to pray and I got this lever of prayer that prays directly unto God, I'm going to use that thing. I want to use that to speak to my Heavenly Father. He gave it to us to use for that purpose. So it's a good decision to make, to speak in tongues. And if some of you have not spoken tongues yet, that's okay. I'd be glad to help you, or there's others that can help you. And if you need to understand more about it, that's great too. Because I know for me, it took a while to figure this thing out, to learn more of the scriptures until I got to the point that I understood it enough that I could do it. So I know I'm emphasizing this, but I believe God emphasizes it in his word, this wonderful manifestation of speaking in tongues. So really fantastic. Well, let's close in Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 18. The previous verses prior to verse 18 talk about what? The armor of God. You know, we put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual powers, against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And you put these different pieces on, and you know what you do after you put on the whole armor of God? Verse 18. Praying. Verse 18, praying always. Is always the word sometimes? Or little bit? Always is the word always. Praying always with some prayer, all prayer, and supplication in the Spirit. What's praying in the Spirit? Speaking in tongues. So, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. God wants us to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We put on that whole armor of God, and he wants us in the posture of prayer. He wants us praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. That, to me, speaks very highly about speaking in tongues. So, we've looked at the Word of God here. We've looked at two men. Me and Peter. And our subject was, what makes the difference in our life? You know, the decisions we make make all the difference in our life. We all make decisions, right? And I've endeavored to make the very best decisions, hopefully according to what God would have me to make. And I want to encourage you to make the best decisions for your life. What's the best decision for your life? What will make the difference for you in your life so that you can be your best for God Almighty? So, Peter was fearful. He was behind closed doors, but boy, he made the decision to stick in there. He got born again, filled with Holy Spirit. He spoke in tongues, and he was a dynamic man of God. So if you want your life to make a difference for yourself and others, I would encourage you to manifest that gift of Holy Spirit in your life. Okay? Okay, so Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the richness of your love and care toward us, that you've given us this wonderful Spirit by which we can fellowship with you, that we can operate and be blessed in our own personal lives and bless other people as well. And thank you for this manifestation of speaking in tongues, that we can pray perfectly to you, Father. We can praise you, magnify you, give thanks to you, that we can build ourselves up. Thank you for that, Father. And I pray for each person here that they can live their life making the best decisions possible to be their best for you. So we love you, Father, and thank you for your grace and mercy and just how you continue to love us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay. All right. Bless your hearts.